Very great things He hath done. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. And I thank God every day for the opportunity of serving Him there. By the way, did you recognize the pulpit in the church there? I took a picture of the pulpit at Providence Baptist College in the chapel, and I took it to a carpenter there, showed him the picture, and he made the exact duplicate. But anyway, I was thinking of that just a few minutes ago when I saw that. But what a blessing it is to be able to serve the Lord, and it's great to be able to see God provide. I mentioned on the video three different goals that God had laid on our hearts for this furlough, three different projects or things that we've been praying about. One was that God would give us some men to be able to go back with us and help us in the ministry there in Uganda. And up to this point, I've had three different families come to me and say that God has been working on their heart to come and to work with us there in Uganda. And two of those three have already planning on taking survey trips this year. And so we're excited about that and excited about the prospect of establishing a teamwork there, reaching Ugandans. The second thing we're praying about is the need for equipment for the radio station. I tell you, in third world countries, I know of no better way to reach the masses of people in such a short amount of time than through Christian radio. And God has brought in every bit of the money that we need for that. And so we have been purchasing that equipment. We're getting ready to take that back, as well as we've been praying for that truck that we're going to be able to use to help us in our village ministries. And once again, God has provided every bit of that money as well. And so I just thank the Lord so much for what He's been doing in our lives. And so pray for us. We're going to be going back in June. We've got a lot of equipment and things to take back. We're going to be purchasing gospel literature and tracts to take back. And just pray that we get things packed properly, get everything through customs, and be able to get everything set up for the work there in Uganda. And what a blessing to be able to be here. I've been looking forward to this for a long time, and I have heard of Pastor Angel and Faith Baptist Church for many, many, many years. And I don't know why in all those years that I never had the opportunity or chance to come up here, but it just didn't work out. And I'm just glad that this worked out for us to be able to be here. And I appreciate your heart for missions, and I appreciate your faithful support for missions. And it shows in your pastor's heart. It shows just in talking to several of you before the service, and your heart and your love for missionaries. And thank you so much for that. Missions has always been a part of my heart, and I'll tell you why. I was raised in a military home. My dad was in the Navy when I was born, and he was the typical type of Navy sailor that you can imagine, just rough and gruff and wicked as all get out, drunk 5 out of 7 days, and I mean just as bad as you can imagine. He told me that their marriage was on the rocks, they were about ready to get a divorce, and just pretty much a ruined life. And in all of his life, being raised in religion, no one ever explained to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went to a church, he went to a Protestant church all his life, and never one time heard anyone tell him how to get to heaven or how to get saved or anything of that nature. And while he was in the Navy, he got sent and stationed in Rota Navy Base in Rota, Spain. And while he was in Rota, Spain, he again was just continuing to have all kinds of problems and difficulties. Went to the base chaplain and was trying to find out what was wrong with his life. And this is what the base chaplain told my dad. He says, "The problem you have is you're just homesick." And so Dad just continued to look and continued to look, trying to find an answer. And a man by the name of Eddie Woodfield started Bethel Baptist Church, a missionary, started Bethel Baptist Church in Rota, Spain. And you support a missionary that worked with Eddie Woodfield, Brother Ronnie Parrott. And both of those men kind of co-worked there in that ministry. And they led one of my dad's drunk buddies to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he invited my dad to come to church. And my dad heard the gospel for the very first time. And trusted Christ as his Savior. That was back in 1975. And God called my dad then to be a missionary as well. And so he went to Bible college and went to the mission field. We served, and again, his heart, his burden was the American military. And so he went back to Spain and pastored Torjon Baptist Church outside of Torjon Air Force Base. We went to Germany, Zweibrücken Army Base, pastored a church there, and then started the Adriatic Baptist Church in San Vito Air Force Base in Italy. And so I was raised in missions all of my life, and I saw the effects of it, and I saw what God could do when someone just surrenders their life to go, and the people that could get saved, and the lives that could be changed. And God began to work on my heart through that. And when I was 18 years old, God spoke to my heart and led me and talked to my heart about preaching. And I knew without any doubt in my life that's what God wanted me to be. I didn't know if He wanted me to pastor or teach a Sunday school class or be a missionary, but I was willing to do anything. And I remember when I was in Bible college, I knew I was called to preach. And honestly, I just remember sitting there one day saying to myself, God, if you can use me, I'll go. And, well, where are you going to go? And so I started praying about different areas. And at that time, Ethiopia was very much in the headlines. And a lot of people talking about it, the civil war there, the unrest, and the starving children, everything. And I just said, all right, Lord, I'll go. I'll volunteer. I'll go. And so we set out to go to Ethiopia. But by that time, it was not possible to get in the country unless you were a businessman or starting a business. And I did not feel that was what God wanted us to do. Well, at that particular time, my dad had surrendered his life after pastoring a short time in Missouri to be a missionary to Uganda. And I never thought about Uganda, never dreamed about Uganda, but my dad got there in 94, and so he said, why don't you come to Uganda and just work with us for a little while until you figure out what the Lord wants you to do, until things open up in Ethiopia, and see what direction God would have you to go. And so I said, all right, let's do that. And so we went down, and I worked with my dad there in Uganda for that period of time. It was about 10 months, and about 4 hours from the capital city is the town of Embabada where my dad worked. And so we worked in the church there. But halfway between Embabada and Kampala, the capital city, is a town called Masaka. And I'm telling you, every single time that we passed through that town, God began to speak to my heart and say, this is where I want you to be. And God just directed us there. We worked with my dad for about 10 months, and then we moved our family up to Masaka. And we've been there ever since, and you saw in the video what God has allowed us to be able to work with there in that town. And we're excited about getting back. We're going to be going back in June. And once again, thank you for allowing us to be able to be here. And please, after the service, go by our display, get a prayer card, and pray for us. If you have any questions about Uganda, we'd sure be glad to talk to you about that. That's the love of our heart, and we would sure love to be able to speak to you about what God has called us to do there. Amen? And so thank you so much for that. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Galatians chapter 3. The book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And I want to try to teach you something tonight that has been a tremendous blessing to my heart and something the Lord taught me, and I hope that it will be a help and a blessing to you tonight and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. You know, as Pastor tonight was talking about the family of Miss Charity and her going home to heaven, and then the family of Amanda Hudson losing their daughter. And, you know, sometimes it's very easy to sit back and ask God why. You look at good people. You look at people that have a love for God and a love for the things of God, and you wonder, why would you allow this to happen? Just this past week in our country of Uganda, one of the men, I remember meeting this man. His name was JJ, and I had the opportunity of finding, as we were out soul winning, I found JJ working in a bar there in Masaka, right outside Masaka. And I remember sitting down and talking with him, and leading him to Jesus Christ. And then not too long after that, had the joy of uniting him and his wife in marriage and seeing them grow. They went all the way through Bible college and then went to work with another missionary. And he's been pastoring a church there in Beta Baptist Church, one of the churches that we started out of Massacana Baptist Church. And they, through with the help of the other missionary, they were able to start an orphanage of over 80 orphans and a huge street children ministry and a big secondary school. And just everything seemed to be going so well, and everything seemed to be just clicking the way we wanted it to go. And then this last Wednesday, Brother J.G. was killed in a car accident. And you just step back sometimes and you ask God, why? Why? I mean, why does God allow those things to happen? And I know that in each of your lives, you have those situations in life that you just want to know, you just have an answer. You just want, Lord, give me an answer. You think of Job and the things that were happening in his life, and Job is that book that has more questions in it than any other book in the Bible, because he just wanted to know why. He just wanted to know what the answer was. He wanted to know why God was doing this in his life. And he didn't have a Bible. He didn't have anything to go to for encouragement. He just wanted to know why. But when it comes right down to it, and this is what I want to talk about tonight, God demands that we live and walk by faith. We don't have to know the answer. We don't need to know why. And I know in our logical minds we want to know why, and we want to figure out the reason, and we want to be able to say, well, this happened for this reason and this happened because of that. Listen, there's a lot of things that are going to happen in your life and my life we're never going to know till we get to heaven. And I believe in many cases we may not even know when we get to heaven, because God has His perfect plan. And you and I have got to learn to walk by faith. And so in my life as a Christian, I need to understand that I need to not only walk by faith and understand that the only way that I can please God is to live by faith. And so if that's the only way to please God, and without faith it is impossible to please God, then I must learn to walk by faith so that in every day of my life I may please Him. And the worst thing that we can do in the face of God, and the worst thing to cause displeasure in the heart of our Heavenly Father, is to question. You and I, as those of you that are fathers, you understand that there are times in your life when you have the best interest in mind for your children, and so you give them answers that maybe they don't seem to like, and then they come back when they say, well, Dad, why? Why can't I have that? And why can't I go there? And why can't I wear that? And it grieves the heart of a father, because you just simply want your children to understand, listen, I have your best interests in mind. I know exactly the plan I have for your life. Just simply trust me. Just trust me. Don't question me. Now, in Galatians chapter 3 here, notice the Bible says here in verse number 6, the Bible says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham was described as a man of faith. He was described as a faithful man. And the Bible says that the same blessings that Abraham enjoyed because of his faith is the same blessings you and I can enjoy, because we can also be children and faith and walk by faith. And so if Abraham is that man of faith and that example of faith, and that first individual you think of when you talk about faith, we think of Abraham. He's the first name that comes to mind. Then I want to ask myself, how did he get to that point of being a man of faith? Because as I study Abraham's life, he was not always a man of faith. Abraham had to learn and he had to grow in his faith until he could get to a point in his life where he would trust God without question. Now, I want to look at the life of Abraham tonight quickly. And I want to try to help us tonight. And this helped me so much in my life in helping me to understand how I can grow in my faith and be able to take an honest look at my life and find out where I am in my faith. In Abraham's life, from the time that we find out about Abraham and are introduced to him until the time that he dies, Abraham asked 8 questions. One of those questions was directed toward Lot. The rest of the 7 questions were directed to God. And as you look at his questions, you understand that the questions that Abraham was directing to God were not questions of trust. They were questions of doubt. Because faith, when we reach a point in our life where we have, where we're growing in our faith, that is the point in our life where we simply do not question. We trust 100%. Why is it sometimes that people can go through hard times and difficult times, and some go through with flying colors, and others get out, they get mad at God, they get distressed at what God did, and they're constantly asking questions of why God would allow this to happen? What's the difference? It's simply their level of faith. Because one who has faith and one who has grown in their faith understands that God is in control. Now, so quickly tonight, let's go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And let's look at this man called Abraham. Genesis chapter 15. Now, I understand, and let me just say this tonight, I understand that when Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldees, the Bible says by faith he left the Ur of the Chaldees and went to a land not knowing where he was going. And I understand that. But I want you to understand something, and I understand that people give Abraham a lot of credit for doing that, and they think that Abraham was just such a strong man of faith to leave, to go to a place where he wasn't going. But tonight, and I'm going to make a statement here, and I don't want you to throw me out just immediately, because I want you to hear me through and understand what I mean when I say this. When Abraham left, he did leave Ur of the Chaldees by faith, but I submit to you that he left with a very selfish faith. Now let me ask you a couple questions. If God came to you, now this is not a newspaper, this is not an email, this is not a letter. If God Himself appeared and came to you and said, go to a foreign land, I'm not going to tell you where to go, but when you get there, I am going to give you a land far as you can see, and I'm going to make a great nation of you. Let me ask you a question today. How much faith would it take you to get up and go? Not much faith. Listen, if a voice appeared to me from heaven and started talking to me out of the blue and said, go, and I'm going to promise you prosperity, and I'm going to promise you land, and I'm going to promise you riches, and I'm going to promise you all these things, it's not going to take a whole lot of faith. Are you with me? Now, so he went. Now, the faith was in the fact that he did not know where he was going, and I understand that, but he went because of what was promised to him. You say, well, Brother Keith, how do you know that? Well, let's look here in chapter 15. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, can you imagine God coming to him? He's already left his home. He's already there in this land of Canaan. And God appears to him and says, Abraham, I am your shield and I am your great reward. If we put that in our terminology today, he is simply saying, I am your provision and I am your protection. And is not that what we crave the most in our day-to-day lives? Protection and provision. And so God comes to him and says, that's exactly what I am for you. I am all that you need. I am all the protection that you need. I am all the provision that you need. I'm everything that you need. One of the things that keep people from surrendering the mission field is usually one of those two things. Worried about provision, worried about protection. And so God says, Abraham, I am all that you need. Everything you need is encompassed within me. I am your provision. I am your protection. And so you would think that Abraham would respond and say, thank you, God. God, that is so wonderful. Praise God for that. But no, you go to verse number 2, and Abraham asked a question. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? Now, wait a minute. Here's this great man of faith. Who has so much. Look back in chapter 13. The Bible says in chapter 13 in verse number 2, and Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Chapter 14, verse number 14, the Bible says, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. So we have a man who is very rich in silver, in cattle, in gold. We have a man who has 318 servants. How many of you have one? 318 servants. Almost a servant for every day of the year. So he has everything that you and I would be considered success. He has people that wait on him hand and foot. He has all the silver and the gold that he desires. He has all the livestock and animals that he could desire. And on top of that, God comes to him and says, Abraham, I am your shield. I am your reward. I am all that you need. And Abraham sits back and says, yeah, but what are you going to give me? May I say that that is the montage of what is happening in America today? Amen. Guys, we have been blessed so much. You just take a casual look out in the parking lot tonight and see how God has blessed us. We have so much. And on top of that, we have a Heavenly Father who has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you. And yet we sit back and say, yeah, Lord, but what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? What's going to happen to me? And so, not being satisfied with what God offered, he says, Lord, what are you going to give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of the house is Eliezer Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. God, you shortchanged me. God, you've not given me everything that I want. Now, does this sound like this great man of faith? Does this sound like this great man that is just trusting God every step of the way? No, look down in verse number 7. The Bible says, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Wow! I am the Lord. I brought you from where you are. I am going to give you this land. Well, let's look at the question he asked. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? How do I know you're going to give it to me? Now, first of all, you find Abraham doubting the very character of God. Now you find him doubting the very word of God. He says, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to provide it for you. I'm going to give you this land. Well, how do I know you're going to do that? Now, I just submit to you today, yes, he was a man of faith, but he was growing in his faith. And at this point in his life, it was a very selfish faith because it was a faith that was going to follow God as long as there was something in it for him. And that was every step of his life. Look there in chapter 17. We find him asking some more questions. Verse number 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? God, you are saying something that is impossible to happen. And again, I submit to you that so many times in our life, God leads us in certain directions and God leads us to make certain decisions that in our eyes seem to be impossible and seem to be no way that it can ever work out. And so our selfish faith steps back and says, yes, I'm going to trust you, but Lord, I got a question here. This does not seem possible. And I believe with all of my heart, and follow me through here today, I believe with all of my heart, many of our churches across our nation today are filled with people that are people of faith, but it's a selfish faith in the fact that we will follow God as long as it's okay for me. And that is why people, when problems happen and difficulties happen and trials come in their life, that's why some of them quit, because it hasn't worked out for them. It hasn't been blessing for them, and it hasn't turned out the way they thought it would turn out. And instead of trusting God without question and trusting that God is going to work this out for their good, they say, well, this is not it. This is not what I expected it to be. Now, what's interesting is as you look at this life of Abraham, as you look at the questions, all the rest of the questions that Abraham asked the Lord are in chapter 18. In chapter 19, Abraham asked no questions. Lot asked the questions. In chapter 20, Abimelech asked questions because of Abraham, but Abraham asked no questions. Sarah, in chapter 21, asked the questions. Abimelech asked questions, but Abraham asked no questions. Then when we come to chapter 22, as Abraham is going up the mountain with Isaac, Isaac asked the question, but Abraham asked no questions. What is very interesting is here you have Abraham, and God tells him, Abraham, I want you to take your son, thine only son, and I want you to take him up to the top of Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. And this man who all this time before has done nothing but question God time and time and time again, now all of a sudden is willing to offer up that which he wanted more than God without a question. Something happened in Abraham's life where he went from selfish faith to sacrificial faith. Where he went from a faith that was about him and what he could get out of it and following God as long as God was providing and blessing him, to a faith that simply says, God, whatever you want, whatever you desire, whatever sacrifice you want from my life, I am all yours without a question. Without a question. And so as I looked at this, I began to ask myself the question, what happened in Abraham's life where he goes from questioning God step after step after step to a point where he's willing to offer up his son Isaac without any question? Something had to happen in his life as his faith began to grow, and as he was able to walk his son out that mountain and fully aware that he was going to tie his son up and put that son on the altar and plunge that knife into his son's body, he knew God's promises were real, and he knew that God would come through, and so he did not offer one question. What happened in Abraham's life? You see, faith is not so much something that we ask God for. faith is not something that you come down to the altar and say, oh God, I want more faith, and you go back and you're loaded up with faith. Faith, listen to me very carefully, faith is in direct proportion of your view of God. How big your God is will determine how big your faith is. Now, what happened in his life? Let's look quickly and we'll be finished. Go back to chapter 18. Chapter 18. All the rest of the questions that he asked are in chapter 18. We understand the story. The Lord has appeared with two angels and they're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so they go down into Sodom and Gomorrah, and God says, I'm going to destroy them because their sin is grievous. Verse number 21, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And here's his question. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Lord, I've got some family down there. I've got some people that I know. I've got some relatives that I know. And Lord, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? All of a sudden, his questions are no longer about himself. Now the questions are out of concern for others' lives. And so he says, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within a city. Here's another question. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? And you know the story. I'm not going to go there for sake of time. But he begins negotiating with God. And Lord, if there's 45, if there's 35, if there's 30 or 25, and gets God all the way down to 10. Surely there would be 10 there. Surely Lot would have had enough influence, at least in his own family, that there would be 10 people that would be righteous. And you know what? There wasn't even 10. There was only 4. And even on the outside, you look at them, they were only righteous because of the... when God saves you, you're saved forever. Their lives weren't all that a picture of righteousness. So God goes down there and he can't find those 10. Now I want you to understand, Abraham's standing up here. He's seen those angels go down to those cities. And I want you to understand something. Abraham sees God in a way he's never seen God before. Up to this point, he's only seen God as a way of prosperity. He's only seen God as a way of getting. Every time you see Abraham and his relationship with God up to this point, it's all about his own prosperity. It's all about his own gain. It's all about land. It's all about money. It's all about him. And mind you, listen to me very carefully, that's what the majority of Christianity today thinks God is all about. A free ticket to prosperity. But that day, Abraham saw the fire and brimstone from God come down and destroy two cities with many of his relatives destroyed with it. And Abraham got a view of God that he'd never seen before. A God that is willing to bring his judgment down on this earth. And so I believe with all of my heart, when God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to take your son. I want you to march him up Mount Moriah. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. I don't believe Abraham's mind went back to the prosperity God. I believe Abraham's mind went back to a God that is a judge. And a God that is a serious about obedience. And I believe Abraham's mind went back and understood, I know who God is and what God can do. And because I fear God, I will be willing to get to the point of even sacrificing my own son. What happened? His view of God changed. And once his view of God changed, there was no more questions. There was no more questions. Now listen to me today. The Bible tells us that this world that we're living in, if we do not reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, is going to die and go to hell. But you know why most of us don't care? Because we have a selfish faith that is only in it for what's in it for me. We don't see God as a God that because of people's unbelief will send people to the lake of fire for all eternity. And so when it comes time for soul winning, when it comes time for street preaching, when it comes time to go into the mission field, when it comes time for all these things, we step back and we say, Lord, there's not going to be much in it for me, so I think I'm not going to be a part of it. When it comes time to giving to missions, when it comes time to giving for the church and the ministries of the church, well, there's just not much in it for me, so I don't think I'll be a part of it. If there's one thing I could ask you to do tonight, is ask God to give you a fresh view of who He is. And when you get a fresh view of who God is, your faith can go from a point of being selfish faith to a point of sacrificial faith. And whatever God asks you to give to missions, or wherever God asks you to go, or whatever time God asks you to give for the sake of Christ, there's no question involved. It is simply, yes, sir. Because I've reached a point in my life of sacrificial faith. I've reached a point in my life where I understand God is in control. And God is going to work things out exactly the way He wants them to be. And so there's no questions. There's no asking why. There's just simply saying, yes, sir. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed? What about you tonight? Where are you in your faith? We're all growing in that area. I have a long ways to go. Well, let me ask you tonight, is your faith all about what you can get out of God? And as long as your pockets are full of money, and as long as your bank account is fine, and your 401k is secure, and as long as you've got a nice vehicle and a nice house, and as long as everything's working out fine, I'll serve God and I'll live by faith. But what's going to happen when it doesn't go fine? What's going to happen to you when it turns sour? When life throws bad things at you? You still going to trust Him? When God comes to you and says, this is what I want you to give, or this is where I want you to go, this is how I want you to serve, are you willing to just say yes, sir, without a question? Even if there's nothing in it for you, would you be willing to say, Lord, it's not about me, it's about reaching this world, it's about interceding on the behalf of others, it's about God and pleasing Him? Maybe tonight you need to come to this altar and say, God, give me a fresh view of who You are. Give me a fresh view of who You are. Help me to see You for who You really are, so that my faith can be a sacrificial faith. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, I'll ask the pianist to play. And if God's spoken to your heart, would you come to this altar tonight and do business with God? Father, I pray You help us tonight. Oh God, may we go from that point of wanting everything to be about ourselves to letting it be about others and allowing our view of God to increase, that we may be able to make whatever sacrifice is necessary simply because You said do it. God, help us tonight. As the pianist begins to play, if God's spoken to your heart, would you come tonight? Would you come tonight? Sacrificial faith. God, whatever it is, however much it is, wherever it is you want me to go, I'm all yours. Paul said, make your bodies a living sacrifice. Would you come tonight? Has God spoken to your hearts?